The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first book today is Peter Rabbit by Beatrix Potter. Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits, and their names were Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter. They lived with their mother in a sandbank underneath the root of a very big fir tree. "Now, my dears," said old Mrs. Rabbit one morning, "you may go into the fields or down the lane, but don't go into Mr. McGregor's garden. Your father had an accident there. He was put in a pie by Mrs. McGregor. Now run along and don't get into mischief. I am going out." Then old Mrs. Rabbit took a basket and her umbrella and went through the wood to the baker's. She bought a loaf of brown bread and five currant buns. Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail, who were good little bunnies, went down the lane to gather blackberries. But Peter, who was very naughty, ran straight away to Mr. McGregor's garden and squeezed under the gate. First, he ate some lettuces and some French beans, and then he ate some radishes. And then, feeling rather sick, he went to look for some parsley. But round the end of a cucumber bush, whom should he meet but Mr. McGregor? Mr. McGregor was on his hands and knees, planting out young cabbages, but he jumped up and ran after Peter, waving a rake and calling out, "Stop, thief!" Peter was most dreadfully frightened. He rushed all over the garden, for he had forgotten the way back to the gate. He lost one of his shoes among the cabbages, and the other shoe amongst the potatoes. After losing them, he ran on four legs and went faster, so that he might have got away altogether if he had not unfortunately run into a gooseberry net and got caught by the large buttons on his new jacket. It was a blue jacket with brass buttons, very shiny and quite, quite new. Peter gave himself up for lost, and he shed big tears. But his sobs were overheard by some friendly sparrows who flew to him in great excitement and implored him to exert himself. Mr. McGregor came up with a sieve, which he intended to pop on top of Peter. But Peter wiggled out just in time, leaving his jacket behind, and rushed into the tool shed. And there he jumped into a can. It would have been a beautiful thing to hide in, if it had not had so much water in it. He had jumped into a watering can. Mr. McGregor was quite sure that Peter was somewhere in the tool shed, perhaps hidden underneath a flower pot. He began to turn them over carefully, looking under each. Presently, Peter sneezed. "Ka-choo!" Mr. McGregor was after him in no time and tried to put his foot upon Peter, who jumped out of a window, upsetting three plants. The window was too small for Mr. McGregor, and he was tired of running after Peter, and so he went back to his work. Peter sat down to rest. He was out of breath and trembling with fright, and he had not the least idea which way to go. And also he was very damp after sitting in that can. After a time, he began to wander about, going lippity-lippity, not very fast, and looking all around. He found a door in the wall, but it was locked, and there was no room for a fat little rabbit to squeeze underneath. And old Mouse was running in and out over the stone doorstep, carrying peas and beans to her family in the wood. Peter asked her the way to the gate, but she had such a large pea in her mouth that she could not answer. She only shook her head at him. Peter began to cry. Then he tried to find his way straight across the garden, but he became more and more puzzled. Presently, he came to a pond where Mr. McGregor filled his water cans. A white cat was staring at some goldfish. She sat very, very still, but now and then the tip of her tail twitched as if it were alive. Peter thought it was best to go away without speaking to her. He had heard about cats from his cousin, little Benjamin Bunny. He went back towards the tool shed, but suddenly, quite close to him, he heard the noise of a hoe. Scritch, scratch, scratch, scritch. Peter scuttered underneath the bushes, but suddenly, as nothing happened, he came out and climbed upon a wheelbarrow and peeped over. The first thing he saw was Mr. Gregor hoeing the onions. His back was turned towards Peter, and beyond Mr. McGregor was the gate. Peter got down very quietly off the wheelbarrow and started running as fast as he could go along a straight walk behind some black currant bushes. Mr. McGregor caught sight of him at the corner, but Peter did not care. He slipped underneath the gate and was safe at last in the wood outside the garden. Mr. McGregor hung up the little jacket and the shoes for a scarecrow to frighten the blackbirds. So poor Peter lost his new jacket and his shoes, but at least he was safe. Peter never stopped running or looked behind him until he got home to the big fir tree. He was so tired that he flopped down upon the nice soft sand on the floor of the rabbit hole and shut his eyes. His mother was busy cooking. She wondered what he had done with his clothes. It was the second little jacket and pair of shoes that Peter had lost in a week. I am sorry to say that Peter was not very well during the evening. His mother put him to bed and made some chamomile tea, and then she gave a dose of it to Peter. "One tablespoonful to be taken at bedtime," she said. But Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail had bread and milk and blackberries for supper. And that's the end of Peter Rabbit. And do you think he ever went into Farmer McGregor's garden ever again? I don't think so. Our next book is called I Know a Rhino by Charles Fugue. This book is about a lucky little girl who has tea with a rhino, plays in the mud with a pig, and even blows bubbles within her bathtub with a giraffe. How is this possible, do you think? Let's read the book and we'll find out. I Know a Rhino by Charles Fugue. I know a rhino. We like to take tea. I have two sugars and the rhino takes three. I know a leopard who loves fancy clothes. He always looks great from his tail to his toes. I know a giraffe. We laugh and blow hundreds of bubbles when we take a bath. I know a bear. And when it's sunny, we have a picnic with brown bread and honey. I know a dragon. He's scaly and red. I looked after him when he's sick and in bed. Poor dragon. There he is in bed, all bundled up, looking very sad. Guess who's in my band? His arms are quite long. He's an orangutan singing a song. And there's the orangutan playing a tennis racket like a pretend guitar. I know a pig. We play in the dirt. We always have mud fights, but no one gets hurt. I know a hippo, and when she's not busy, we spin round and round until we get dizzy. These are my friends. I know them, you see. I know them quite well. because they live with me. And there is a little girl sound asleep with all her toy animals snuggled up around her, the dragon, the leopard, the hippo, the rhino, the giraffe, the pig, the orangutan, and the teddy bear. And they're all sound asleep. Our next book is called Pearl and Wagner Four Eyes. And this is by Kate McMullen. On Monday morning, Nurse Nice came into Mrs. Starr's classroom. She wrote on the board, "I test today." Wagner squinted and read, "I toast toady." "Uh-oh," said Pearl. Nurse Nice put a tape on the floor. She hung a chart on the wall. "Line up for your eye test," she said. Pearl was first in line. Wagner was right behind her. Last in line was Miss Starr. "Cover your right eye and read from the top," said Nurse Nice. Pearl covered her eye. "GWVGSBE," she read. "Left eye," said Nurse Nice. "Keep going." "NOIHW," read Pearl. "Your eyes are fine," said Nurse Nice. "JHERLC," Pearl read quickly. "NOSZLEPHULYTH. "Next," said Nurse Nice. Nurse Nice flipped the chart over. "Cover your right eye and read from the top," she said. Wagner covered his eye. "E," he read. "B?" "No, wait, P." "Left eye," said Nurse Nice. "E," Wagner read. He blinked. "E," he read again, and he shut his eyes and shouted, "E-I-E-I-O." After the eye test, Nurse Nice gave Wagner a note to take home. "You need to see an eye doctor," she said. "Who? Me?" said Wagner. At recess, Lulu said, "Do you have to get glasses, Wag?" "No way," said Wagner. Pearl pointed across the street. "Read the red sign," she said. "Ron and Bert's Pizza," the sign read. Wagner squinted. "Raw Bird Pizza," he read. "Glasses time," said Pearl. Pearl and Wagner walked home from school. "I wished I needed glasses," said Pearl. "Glasses can give you a whole new look." They passed Ron and Bert's Pizza. Next to it was Gail's glasses shop. Pearl pointed to a pair of glasses in the window. "If I wear those, I'd look like a rock star," she said. "You think so?" asked Wagner. Pearl pointed to another pair. "In these, I'd look like a scientist," said Pearl. "Right," said Wagner, "a mad scientist." "These would make me look like an actor," said Pearl. "Pearl, staring in swamp monster," cried Wagner. "Cut it out," said Pearl. "Sorry," said Wagner, "but you don't even need glasses." "Oh, right," said Pearl. Pearl studied the glasses again. "Don't worry, Wag," she said. "I will find a great new look for you." "Well, I like my old look," said Wagner. "I am never getting glasses. Never, never, never." The next Monday morning, Wagner waited for Pearl on the corner. "What's wrong?" said Pearl when she saw him. "I got glasses," said Wagner. "Put them on," Pearl said. "No," said Wagner. "I hate my glasses. They pinch my nose. They poke the backs of my ears. They make me look like a guppy." "Let me put them on," said Pearl. "You asked for it," said Wagner. He took the glasses out of his backpack and gave them to Pearl. "Everything is fuzzy," said Pearl. She tried to walk. "I feel dizzy and sick." She turned to Wagner. "But how do I look?" she asked. Wagner squinted at Pearl. "Blurry," he said. Pearl gave Wagner his glasses back. "Put them on, Wag," she said. "I will tell you how you look." Wagner put on his glasses, and Pearl gasped. "You look so cool," she said. "I do," said Wagner. "You do," said Pearl. "Come on, let's show Lulu and Bud and Henry." She grabbed his arm, and they ran to school. When they reached the playground, Pearl called, "Wagner's got glasses," and everyone ran over to see. "You look great," said Lulu. "You look smart," said Bud. "You look like Wagner with glasses," said Henry. "Thanks," said Wagner. Just then, two big boys came over to Wagner. One big boy said, "Hi, Four Eyes." The other boy laughed as they walked off. "Pooey," said Wagner. "Now I am Four Eyes." He whipped off his glasses and threw them into his backpack. "I have on a hat," said Henry. "I guess that makes me two heads." "Well, I'm wearing boots," said Bud. "I guess that makes me 4 feet." And Wagner smiled. "I have on a scarf," said Lulu. "I'm 2 necks. Pearl waggled her gloves and said, "I'm 20 fingers. Wagner put his glasses back on. "The name is Four Eyes," he said. The bell rang, and they all ran into the classroom. Mrs. Starr was writing on the board. "Pizza party today," read Wagner. "Hooray," said Bug. "Why are we having a party?" asked Pearl. "To celebrate seeing," said Mrs. Starr. She turned around. Everybody gasped. "Wow," said Pearl. "You look like Ms. Rockstar." And there was Miss Starr with the glasses that made her look like a rock star. Before lunch, Miss Starr told her class all about picking out her glasses. Wagner looked out the window. He could read the signs on shops across the street. Katie's Kites, Toby's Toys, Dora's Five and Dime. He was the first to see Ron and Bert's pizza van pull up at the school. Everyone pushed the desks together to make a table. Miss Starr covered the table with a red checkered cloth. "I ordered a special pizza," she said. "Close your eyes." "Now open," said Miss Starr. The pizza had pepperoni and olive eyes. It had glasses made of green pepper strips and a big red pepper smile. "All right," said Wagner, "Four Eyes Pizza." "Eat up," said Miss Starr, and everybody did. And here's some tips if you have to wear glasses. Don't forget your glasses when you go to the movies. When your glasses get so smudgy you can't see, it's time to clean them. Always keep your glasses in a special place so they will be easy to find. Whatever you do, don't put your glasses down on the ground where you could step on them, or someone else could too. Keep your glasses away from the babies and from animals. If you sleep with your glasses on, they can get lost in your covers or broken. Keep your glasses case in your backpack just in case you need it. You will look cool in your new glasses, and all your friends will want to try them on. Our next book is called Can't You Sleep, Little Bear? By Martin Waddell. This book is about a little bear who cannot sleep. Once there were two bears, Big Bear and Little Bear. Big Bear is the big bear, and Little Bear is the little bear. They played all day in the bright sunlight. When night came and the sun went down, Big Bear took Little Bear home to the bear cave. Big Bear put Little Bear to bed in the dark part of the cave. "Go to sleep, Little Bear," he said, and Little Bear tried. Big Bear settled in the bear chair and read his bear book by the light of the fire. But Little Bear couldn't get to sleep. "Can't you sleep, Little Bear?" asked Big Bear, putting down his bear book, which was just getting to the interesting part, and padding over to the bed. "I'm scared," said Little Bear. "Why are you scared, Little Bear?" asked Big Bear. I don't like the dark, said Big Bear. The dark is all around us, said Little Bear. Big Bear looked, and he saw that the dark part of the cave was very dark. So he went to the lantern cupboard and took out the tiniest lantern that was in there. Big Bear lit the teensiest lantern and put it next to Little Bear's bed. Now here's a tiny light to keep you from being scared, Little Bear, said Big Bear. Thank you, Big Bear, said Little Bear, cuddling up in the glow. Now go to sleep, Little Bear, said Big Bear, and he padded back to the bear chair and settled down to read the bear book by the light of the fire. Little Bear tried to go to sleep, but he just couldn't. Can't you sleep, Little Bear? Yawned Big Bear, putting down his bear book. Just 4 pages to go in the interesting part, and padding over to the bed. I'm scared, said Little Bear. Why are you scared, Little Bear? Asked Big Bear. I don't like the dark, said Little Bear. What dark? Asked Big Bear. The dark is all around us, said Little Bear. But I brought you a lantern, said Big Bear. Only a teeny weeny one, said Little Bear, and there's lots of dark. Big Bear looked, and he saw that Little Bear was quite right. There was still lots of dark. So Big Bear went to the lantern cupboard and took out a bigger lantern. Big Bear lit the lantern and put it beside the other one. Now go to sleep, Little Bear, said Big Bear, and he padded back to the bear chair and settled down to read the book by the light of the fire. Little Bear tried and tried to go to sleep, but he couldn't. Can't you sleep, Little Bear? Grunted Big Bear, putting down his bear book with just 3 pages to go and padding over to the bed. I'm scared, said Little Bear. Why are you scared, Little Bear? Asked Big Bear. I don't like the dark, said Little Bear. What dark? Asked Big Bear. The dark is all around us, said Little Bear. But I brought you 2 lanterns, said Big Bear, a tiny one and a bigger one. Not much bigger, said Little Bear, and there's still lots of dark. Big Bear thought about it, and then he went to the lantern cupboard and took out the biggest lantern of them all, with 2 handles and a piece of chain. He hooked up the lantern above Little Bear's bed. I brought you the biggest lantern of them all, he told Little Bear. That's to keep you from being scared. Thank you, Big Bear, said Little Bear, curling up in the glow and watching the shadows dance. Now go to sleep, Little Bear, said Big Bear, as he padded back to the bear chair and settled down to read the bear book by the light of the fire. Little Bear tried and tried and tried to go to sleep, but he couldn't. Can't you sleep, Little Bear? Groaned Big Bear, putting down his bear book with just 2 pages to go and padding over to the bed. I'm scared, said Little Bear. Why are you scared, Little Bear? Asked Big Bear. I don't like the dark, said Little Bear. What dark? Asked Big Bear. The dark all around us, said Little Bear. But I brought you the biggest lantern of them all, and there isn't any dark left, said Big Bear. Yes, there is, said Little Bear. There is, out there. And he pointed out of the bear cave at the night. Big Bear saw that Little Bear was right. Big Bear was very puzzled. All the lanterns in the world couldn't light up the dark outside. Big Bear thought about it for a long time, and then he said, Come on, Little Bear. Where are we going? Asked Little Bear. Out, said Big Bear. Out into the darkness? Said Little Bear. Yes, said Big Bear. But I'm scared of the dark, said Little Bear. No need to be, said Big Bear, and he took Little Bear by the paw and led him out of the cave into the night, and it was dark. Oh, I'm scared, said Little Bear, cuddling up to Big Bear. Big Bear lifted Little Bear and cuddled him and said, Look at the dark, Little Bear. And Little Bear looked. I've brought you the moon, Little Bear, said Big Bear, the bright yellow moon and all the twinkly stars. But Little Bear didn't say anything, for he had gone to sleep, safe and warm in Big Bear's arms. Big Bear carried Little Bear back into the bear cave, fast asleep, and he settled down with Little Bear on one arm and the bear book on the other, cozy in the bear chair by the fire. And Big Bear read the book right to the end. And there is Big Bear sound asleep in the chair, and Little Bear cuddled up in his arms, and the book there on his lap. I don't know if he really finished it or not. Now we have a few poems. And these come from the Please and Thank You book by Barbara Shook Hazen. And it tells us how we should be careful not to act and the best way to act. So this is called Don't Be Grabby Gorilla. Gorillas are rude. They grab their food. They never say, please pass the peach. They're so anxious they just reach. They upset others by all they do. And sometimes they upset the table, too. This one is called The Ox Always Knocks. The ox always knocks before opening a door, because someone behind it might be sleeping, or wrapping a present, or sad and weeping. And then he always asks, may I come in? And everyone says, how thoughtful of him. This one is called Rabbits at the Table. The rabbit twins always taste the food that's on the table. They don't always eat it all, but they eat as much as they are able. Funny or runny or something new, they try at least a bite or two. This one is, pull yourself together, Pamela Pig. Pamela Pig is simply a mess. Her hair is uncombed and there's ink on her dress. Her hands are filthy, and I have a hunch that chocolate pudding was part of her lunch. There's brown spots all over her dress. Doesn't she know it isn't polite to make others look at such a sad sight? And this one is called Not So Wild Cats. Wild cats make their mother roar the way they slam the kitchen door. If they would close it quietly, they'd see how pleased their mom would be. Leopards look before they leap. They cross only with the light. And when they cross the crowded street, they try to keep to the right. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.